Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, Dan, we are two-thirds of the way through The Republic of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped at chapter 8.
In part three, I think?
I forget. I just did chapter. It's two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
But first, I have a warm-up that I've had on my list for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like haven't found the best way to say it. And I've decided, even though I still haven't, that I just have to do it.
It's just gotta come out. Okay. Wow.
It's just gotta come out. So I was on a trip a while ago, and my wife and I were taking an Uber to the airport to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, Uber drivers always weird, right?
Not yeah, always, for sure.
But yeah.
I would say 50% of the time Uber drivers are weird.
So Uber driver, pretty religious guy.
Mm-hmm.
But overall very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Talked politics a lot. Was actually very progressive. Kind of.
Oh, interesting.
Progressive is probably not the right word, but like, yeah.
I will say also so brave for a service worker to talk politics.
I brought it up immediately. It was crazy.
So brave.
With nothing, and he was just immediately like going on a rant, like an anti-Trump rant, and I was like, all right, I'm kind of here for this, but also weird.
Yeah, weird tone for me.
And then also super religious. And then here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's in the car, right? And she's the more talkative, so they're kind of talking more. He does this thing, the Uber driver does this thing where that I think like a lot of people do, where they try to compliment women as a group.
Oh God.
In ways
that's
like you're saying positive things.
Oh no.
But in a way that like I know that you don't like the thing that he said is something along the lines of like, you know, women are the most perfect thing God created, right? And it's like,
oh,
you know, they're like,
no,
they're like wiser than men and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And this happens like this. It's kind of a different thing depending on who says it, but there's like, this is kind of a theme occasionally for
Absolutely.
People, especially I feel like religious people.
Absolutely.
And it's like, okay, but I know that you don't mean that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like we
it's
have
like
to
a
sit
subtle
there.
Misogyny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I don't know much more to say beyond
it's extremely,
that.
I will say this, it's extremely boomer coded, right? It's extremely boomer coded in this language that's like your wife being always right and your wife being the like smart one in the relationship, the one who's like got it figured out, and you're just like the dumb husband, like very yeah. boomer coded, still misogynistic, because if you actually believe that, like your life would dramatically reorient,
right?
But it's just a thing that you can say so that like your wife doesn't feel as bad that she's basically a second class citizen.
Yeah,
like, and it's also just like it feels like it's a progressive thing to say about women, but it's actually really not.
Right. It's totally not.
And, any statement that you have to say about all women having certain characteristics is like bad. You're not doing any good.
Right. And it's just so weird to like, it's very difficult to respond to also.
Yeah, 100%. Unless you're just gonna fake go along with it and be like, "That's what I've been saying. That's what I've been saying all these years, brother. You catch golf this
right.
week."
But like, I mean, the main thing that I want to say is that we see, like, I mean, I'm sure like my wife and other women that get those comments or would say the same thing even to a more extreme extent, but like,
yeah,
we see through that. You know what I mean? Like,
but Luke, I don't think he realizes it. Like, I don't think he really thinks about what that statement means. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, honestly, Luke, I think a pessimistic estimation would be that like 30% of what people out in the world say on a day-to-day basis is just like muscle memory words, yeah, that come out of their mouth. It's just like pattern matching of like, hey, in this circumstance, I heard somebody else say this thing once, so now I will say that thing in this similar circumstance. They're just ChatGPTing their life for a good 30% of the words that come out, I think.
That's tough to hear, but I don't necessarily disagree.
It feels like it's... And Luke, I will say, to give this person some credit, I imagine with service workers, it's way higher because you just have
for sure.
Although for this guy, it's insane because he starts with something extremely personal and controversial and then goes to the like blasé, boomer coded small talk language, which is wild to me. Luke, you met a character, is what you did. You met a real life character in the wild.
He was, very much so. That's right.
This is gonna be the feature of a documentary in 5 years, and you're gonna be like, I know that guy. It's gonna be like the Uber murders or something.
I hope not. He was a nice guy.
Seemed like a nice guy.
Luke. That's true. But
and then he's been keeping women in his basement, these perfect creatures that he has to study.
Oh God.
And understand.
I don't like that.
Luke, I've got a quick update for us before we get into the pod. First week of class this week. First week of classes.
Okay, nice.
I did have one student not make it all the way through the first class, as in they stood up and left before class was over. So off to a good start.
Nice. Did they, like, they dropped your class or they just left for the day?
They showed up class two. So I think they're sticking with it. But we got to a point where we did some math that they did not recognize at all. And they were like, I could see the panic in their eyes, like a deer in the headlights. And they slowly started putting their things in their bag. I'm not lecturing, by the way. I'm sitting at a group, like a table with three of these students. And one of them is slowly packing up as I'm working with the other two. And at one point, I just turn and look at the student and I'm like, are you leaving? And the student is like... Yeah. I think I'm just going to do it at home. I have no idea what's going on right now. And I was like, okay.
That's crazy.
I was like, bye, I guess.
Why would you leave, though?
I was like literally standing there like, I'm here to help. Okay, I guess, bye.
No, he's in the place that he's supposed to learn it. I don't get it.
Yeah, Luke. Anyway, they came to class too, so I think we're on the right trend.
Okay.
But it was just wild. A wild choice.
I love that.
But people react all kinds of ways when they're experiencing severe fear and anxiety. So,
Yeah. All right.
First time that's happened to me. I'll say that.
I like that move. Maybe I'll start using that whenever. Just slowly pack up and leave when it's not appropriate.
Yep.
I like it. Okay.
Anyway, Luke, let's talk book.
Let's talk book. Republic of Thieves, 2/3 of the way through.
Yep.
Starting off, we come into our new job.
Yep, we're hitting the election. As Locke and Gene. Hitting the election circuit.
We're hitting the election circuit. So they just... They come into this city... And are immediately put in charge with people doing whatever they want, have essentially like a seemingly infinite budget, and they jump in and first thing is just getting a new wardrobe.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
This sounds great. Yes, please. Yeah. This first day, like, oh, hell yeah.
The first day sounds incredible to the point where I'm like, guys, you were so hesitant to take this job, but if you had heard even a little bit of what this first day was going to be like, that's going to sway you a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The fact that everybody is so deferential to them, too. It's wild how there is no resistance at all. Like,
right, they do everything.
You would think there'd be some party apparatus that was like, oh, we kind of know what we're doing. We're kind of doing something here. But instead, it's like, no, they're just kind of sitting here waiting for you guys to show up, and then they will do anything.
Right.
Whoa.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, concerning for the success of this, of their mission.
Pretty concerning, but it also seems like it'd be pretty sick to be a citizen of this place because they get to just chill. Like, they don't have to deal with any of this.
Yeah.
They get to just kind of vibe, and it sounds like things are pretty good here.
Oh, the things are great here. We gotta get one of these all-powerful ruling councils, you know?
Yeah, if only we had, like, a handful of people that had concentrated all of the, like, wealth and power, and we're using that to dramatically influence our society in ways that benefited them mostly. I think it would actually go really great.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping for that at some point to happen. I don't know when, but someday. Anyway, Luke, speaking of buying elections, I need to talk to you about how this system works and how the most obvious solution is presented in the first 5 minutes of them being introduced to how politics work.
Okay. Yes.
So, Luke, day one, they show up and they get sick outfits and they also learn about their money.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, personally, I think it was like 3,000 ducats to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And then 100,000 that is attributed for like campaign related stuff that is untracked.
Yeah.
Now, Luke, we also learn what it takes to vote in an election. And in order to vote, you got to have one of three things. Okay. The first is you have to be able to demonstrate property worth 60 ducats. The second, I don't even remember the second because it's irrelevant. The third is you have to have a one-time payment of 150. I don't remember if it was silver or what it was, but like a payment, basically. I'm assuming it was ducats as well, which makes it strange to think of like, I want to focus on the first criteria to become a voting member, because in the city there are only like 5,000 voting members.
Yes. Was it really that small of a amount?
These numbers down, Luke, because Luke, if I have 100,000 ducats, if I want to create new voters with that money at a rate of 60 ducats per new voter, I am looking at 1,666 new voters in the electorate, which is 30% of the current electorate I can just outright buy.
Yeah.
The election's over. All I have to do now, my only plan if I'm Locke and Jean, is getting Sabitha to waste all her money so she can't do this exact thing. Because this just wins. Like, they already have 9 out of 19 seats. I'm guessing it's like at least 30% of the electorate is voting for them. Yeah. Probably more. And now if I can add an extra 30% on top that is going to be voting for me regardless...
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's so obvious. It's right there.
You got to do a little bit of making sure you get the right, like, right. You're putting most of those into the swing districts, as we know.
Of course. You're packing and cracking as much as you can. But that's the easy part, Luke.
Yeah, God, that's so funny.
It's so easy. This is so easy.
Okay. I didn't do the math when I had read this, but yeah.
I mean, it's so...
You gotta give people... You gotta save a couple of those, right? Because, like, you're spending that on each vote, but you have to give a couple extra per person so that they actually get something from it.
No. Luke, it's even easier than that. Because they don't have to pay 60 ducats to vote. They have to demonstrate that they have 60 ducats worth of property. So it is literally just giving them 60 ducats worth of property gets them a vote. Like, the bribe is the thing to get them to be able to vote.
I see.
They get to keep it at the end. It's the perfect crime.
It is. Okay.
Somebody needs to do the math here, because it's the easiest way to win this election. And meanwhile, they're doing all this, like, cloak and dagger, I'm going to send in a secret agent to your party to shut it down bullshit. And it's like, Stop spending all money. We're going to go hide out in a basement somewhere and just get people to come to us who will agree to vote for you if we give them 60 ducats, which is so much money.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And meanwhile, Sabitha's going to be running around like, what are they doing? What's their scheme? She's never going to know. She's going to be panicking.
Right. Also, for one thing, we're calling her Sabitha for sure.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going Sabitha. But yes, this is a good strategy. Then it's basically, yeah, so it's almost all of your money is going to this, and then the small amount else is to, like, pretend you're doing other things.
Yeah, it's all for the smoke and mirrors of it. And then buying cool clothes and eating at nice restaurants. That's the rest.
Right. Right.
It's like being that. The rest of your money is being bait for
Sabitha.
Sabitha. That's gonna take me a minute. The rest of your money is being bait for Sabitha at that point.
Right.
It's like being very visible in public, pretending like you have a scheme for her to disrupt.
Yeah, you're kind of making up shenanigans.
Which sounds so fun, actually.
It does sound fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Put us in, coach. Come on.
Okay, so am I the only one? I mean, your plan is genius, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one that is very underwhelmed by Locke's, strategies?
Like the current moves?
I realized that he's been on the back foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's had to so far react to everything because Sabitha had a few extra days.
Yeah.
But Locke's strategy of just bribing everyone more money than Sabitha gave them is, like, I guess so far working, but it's not as clever as I would have liked it to be.
I agree with you that this first part of the scheme is too much on defense. Like, he's playing too much defense right now, and I would have expected at least a little bit of offense. Like, you gotta have a little bit of, like, a scheme in the mix to get back. Otherwise, yeah, you're always on defense, and you're just gonna get dominated. Like, there's...
Right,
you can't win.
So far, all he's done, basically, is, like, pay people more money than Sabitha was paying them so that they don't do anything.
Which is... Luke, honestly, such a bad strategy, because let's imagine you are a bank clerk who got bribed by Sabitha to do stuff, and then now you've got somebody coming to you offering to counter-bribe you, always at a higher rate than Sabitha was offering.
Right.
This is an infinite money glitch.
Right.
Because I don't care if I'm getting bribed again by anyone. I'm telling both of them that they're bribing me more.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say, hey, just so you know, Sabitha came to me yesterday and offered me twice what you're offering. So I mean, I remember what you said. I'm just being honest here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, Locke so far, not great. Mm. Also, him being this nervous,
golly,
to see Sabitha is not cute. No. I have to say.
No. It's
it's like I know it's been a while since we've read these books. But I'm very struck by how, I don't know, how like little swag Locke has.
Like how tongue-tied he gets just in her presence. And also,
I mean that, but also just in general.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I will say he seems to do a pretty good job at the party when the, like, the clerk comes along trying to shut the party down.
Yeah.
And Locke's like, DJ, hit my track. Which right. We are going to talk about that scene in a minute. But yeah, Locke hasn't been that charming. And even the moments where Sabitha is like talking about how he's being charming, I'm like, I mean, he's not that much of a Rizzler, actually.
Right. Well said, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing what Sabitha sees in Locke for the most yeah. part. And part of it too is like, I feel like I want to pivot a little bit to talking about their relationship.
Okay.
Locke, at least like young Locke with this vibe, is very teenager in love, which I appreciate. And mm-hmm. he like falls in this classic white knight trap over and over again, which he like refuses to recognize, which is frustrating. Yeah. And I think Sabitha is also frustrating in her own way, that she is like understandably really caught up in the gender dynamics of her position.
Mm-hmm.
But like Locke's 14 or 15. He's very moldable at this stage.
Right.
Like this is your chance. The last time we see their interaction, they're like really close to having like a tender relationship, or like the start of like a relationship that develops. Yeah. And then Locke says something about her hair, I think. And it triggers Sabitha about like the fact that she was warned that men are going to like fetishize her for her hair and she has to be on guard for it. And it's like, yeah, but this is like a 15-year-old boy. This is not like a, I don't know. He's just kind of dumb. He's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that one was weird because it was okay. Let me say, I agree with you. That I don't know what Sabitha necessarily sees in Locke. I will also critique Sabitha.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I realize that she seems to be like very good at everything.
Yeah.
And has like natural, I don't know, poise and whatever. But she's a terrible hang.
Every time she's a terrible hang.
Whenever they're talking, it's like, fuck, this is exhausting, because no matter what I say, you're immediately hostile.
Yep. Yeah, but she's hot, Luke.
So I actually do. I mean, I do think that she critiques Locke as like, obviously you're gonna really like me because we spend like, I'm like the only girl that you really interact with. We spend all this time together.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of true because, I mean, she's very allegedly very attractive, right?
Yeah.
But she just doesn't seem to be very fun to hang out with, you know?
I mean, it's sort of it sort of plays into this interesting trope that's being developed of two people that are like star-crossed or like true loves in a way. There's this sense of like, there's a sort of like soulmate interaction that seems to be happening here, where there's like something that connects them. It is just impossible to say what that actually is because like nothing about their dynamic seems to work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is tough. And it's also tough to see Locke as like a, how old do you think Locke is here? Like 30?
In the present day?
Present day Locke. Yeah.
Sure, yeah, 30 seems reasonable.
I mean, 30, yeah. Locke is a 30-year-old who still is, like, not in control enough about his feelings about this crush that he's been nurturing for, like, decades now to play it cool. Even in a circumstance where, like, yeah, dude, you know she's trying to pull a scheme on you, always.
Right. You're talking about when she drugs him by putting a like whatever
she puts Ambien on her neck on her neck.
Yeah
dude, like, duh, that's what's happening. You have no suspicion,
right,
buddy?
It's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing. And it's like, I get you haven't seen her in a long time and y'all had a really serious physical connection. But like, this is what Gene is for. You got to talk through it with Gene. You got to process those emotions. And then next time when you see her at the grocery store, you're not going to like panic. Okay. You're just going to relax. You're going to take a deep breath and you're going to talk to Gene about it later. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Locke. Come on.
Come on, Locke. Yeah. God, I feel for Gene. He's had to put up with so much Locke nonsense in this book so far.
Gene has had to do that and also had to serve as sort of like a... what's the word I'm looking for? Gene sort of serves as a emotional scarecrow for Locke, because he can be like, don't even talk about anything like that. Gene lost the love of his life in the last book, and he will never get over it. Do you see how upset he is?
Right.
How dare you even bring up whatever it is you were just talking about? Look how upset Gene is.
Right, he's a good prop for that.
Yeah, Locke keeps using his dead wife. I think, were they married? His dead, whatever it was.
Yeah.
As like, look how fucked up Gene's life is. How dare you speak ill? Of me, mostly.
Right. Right. Oh, man. Poor Gene.
Poor Gene. but we love Gene. Gene's a real
one. We do love Gene. I also think it's kind of funny. This is mentioned in one of the flashback scenes that Gene is very good at fighting, but kind of not really good at any. I mean, I'm not going to say he's not good at anything else, but that's kind of what he's there for.
I mean, he does sewing.
He does sewing. That's
Gene's
true.
Good with his hands, Luke. Gene can do
right.
The practical
but he's just
stuff.
Like, he does not do the same thing that the rest of them do.
Which is so important, and to Chain's credit.
Yeah.
Because you need a Gene with this crew. Otherwise, they're not making it.
Honestly, it's huge that Gene's temperament is the way that it is.
100%. As well. Yep. Yep.
Because I feel like normally the big fighty boy is kind of the loose cannon.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clutch that he's often the calm voice of reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Gene was just slightly more temperamental, he would be the horrible boss for all these people, because he would just bully them into doing whatever he wanted.
Right. Yeah.
But instead, we got good guy Gene.
GGJ, as they call him. Should we round out actually our crew in these flashbacks? Because I do want to briefly touch on the Sansas.
Okay, let's talk about the twins.
So annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to separate these two. You got to give them some time apart.
I mean, again, it makes sense because they're 16-year-old boys or however old they are.
God, in my head canon, they're a little older than 16 because they keep talking about going to a board, like a prostitution house.
Yeah. They also drink so much, but they've been drinking with chains since they were like 10.
I feel like everybody's drinking so much.
But I'm pretty sure they're like 16, 17.
Yeah, you're probably right. They're just getting their learner's permit.
And it makes sense because they're brothers that spend all their time together, mm-hmm. and they're in their fighting phase, but it's just, guys, get it together.
It makes everything so much worse. Like them, Sabitha always being surly, like,
yeah,
Locke and Gene. I feel like if I'm them, I'm sending the rest of them off on a quest, and Locke and Gene are just like hanging out.
Yeah, for sure. Because Chains on this mission sends them all out because everyone's being surly with each other.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's true. It's.
But not Gene, right? Like, Gene is cool with everybody.
Never Gene.
Let Gene stay. Honestly, Father Chains, hang out with Gene all summer.
Right, yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Gene's the leader now. I know that he doesn't actually want to be or have the skills for it, but we're Team Gene.
Gene's the heart. The heart of this crew. Okay. Can we go back to modern day?
Yeah.
First thing, I do love this scheme prep that they're getting up to, where they're like coming up with countermeasures, bribing officials. Like, I do think they're on defense a lot of the time, but I think that some of the defense is at least interesting, where he's like, we'll get a gold-plated brass chain, and everyone will wear one when they're on duty.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, what's going to happen there? Something's going to happen there. And all this, like, cool bribery he's doing where he just walks in and throws money at people, and they're like, all right, fair.
Right.
We're loving that. We're excited to see what schemes come about, but there is one play that makes me, like, it adds to the sense I have that everybody who lives here is incompetent at their jobs always. This is when the magistrate clerk tries to shut down the party. Mm-hmm. So he shows up and he's like, hey, you have not turned in your payment. Your liquor license is expired. You have to shut this down, and we got to take you in for a few days while we get this sorted out.
Right.
And Locke is like, don't worry, I've got this. Do you know section 42B3C of the penal code that has to do with commerce? And, you know, you're actually not supposed to shut the party down. I know you think you are. You're actually supposed to have a sick drink with us, bud. Here. Hey, DJ, get that music back on. Let's party. How did this work?
You're saying because, like, a real clerk knows these rules. Is that your point?
Yeah. Like, there's not that many rules, I imagine, for this person to know when shutting down a illegal alcohol operation.
Right.
You know them. That's your job. Right.
Yeah, like, I feel like a lot of people think that everyone is bad at their jobs.
So far, we've seen most of these people are.
Right. But at least in my experience, a lot of people are pretty good at their jobs.
Yeah, this is not a day one magistrate clerk. This is like a person that they know has been doing this job for a while.
Yeah.
He knows this.
Yeah, yeah.
The only other out that I can imagine for this guy is that he is between a rock and a hard place, because he knows everybody's going to hate him if he actually shuts this party down, but he's been sent to do it. So he needs an out, and Locke is giving him an out in the moment that he can like reasonably say to his boss, like, oh, I was mistaken.
Sure.
And to be fair, it never comes up because Locke quickly goes and bribes the boss. So the boss never comes back at him and was like, what are you talking about? There's you don't know if you're fired. You're fired.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely part of it, because this guy that does is kind of friends with them.
Yeah.
And so he is in a uncomfortable position that he doesn't want to go through with. Right.
Yeah,
so Locke does have a bit of a structural advantage that way.
Correct. Yeah.
Still, though, it's like, this is my job. I have to do it. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think he gets fired the next day regardless of Locke's bribery, because if I'm the magistrate who sent him to do this, it doesn't matter if I was bribed or not. It matters that he, like, wasn't able to do the thing that I... Like, people aren't going to keep bribing me if I can't actually do the thing they're asking me to do.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I mean, even if he's not necessarily fired, it's like, hey, man, do you not know this rule? Do you think that we can just let them keep going? I kind of forget exactly what Locke's little excuse thing was.
Locke tells him he can't shut down a commerce operation without a magistrate present.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Which it's
just
why
bullshit.
Would you even? Why would you even... have a clerk then.
Correct. And like, I feel like at the very least you got to ask if they're an imposter. Like, are you not a real clerk, or did somebody pay you to pretend to be a clerk?
Right.
Yeah. It's a big
fuck up. Some professional pride also.
Can't do it. It's election season, Luke. They're having fun.
They're having a blast. Yeah. Okay, so I wanna bring us next to, they're on this ship after they get tricked by Sabatha.
Yep.
It is kind of funny because it's kind of a nice setup that Sabatha's worked out.
It's amazing, yeah.
Because they are like on a delightful cruise and everything.
It's got to be so tempting to be like, are we chilling actually? Like, they've got to have that conversation where Gene and Locke are in their luxurious rooms eating delicious meals, being like, hey, how much do we actually care about this?
Right. Well, okay. Here's the thing though. They have been like threatened. Both sides.
Yeah.
Have been threatened by the Bonds Magi, whatever.
Yeah.
That like if they don't actually try to compete as hard as they can against each other, then like they kill the other one or something crazy, right?
Sure, sure.
And so they know that they have to get off this, at least try to get off this boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like Sabatha knows that too.
Yeah, it's so definitely like, still part of the scheme. Yeah.
I like the strategy of like making it really tempting to stay there. But you have to know that they're not going to, right?
For sure, because otherwise what she does is she just locks them up on the boat, and then that's it. They're just in a cell on the boat.
Which is what they should have. Although, are they not allowed to? I kind of forget.
I thought they
were. Is that
like,
because there's like kind of rule, there's very loose rules, right?
Yeah, but then how is what she ended up doing different from, like, it's not that different from her locking them up in a literal cell on the boat.
Right.
And they threaten to do it if Locke and Gene keep making trouble. So just do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This is the thing. Just do it. Just lock them up.
Which it's obvious that like, yeah, this is part of a bigger plot. Like Sabatha is, she could have won here. She could have just won outright.
Yeah.
And that would have been that. But instead, you know, making it a little fun, a little cat and mouse game, having a good time.
Right. Right.
Spending a whole lot of ducats, I will say, that could have been used
to buy votes, I think. Yeah.
But, you know, that's fine. That's fine.
It's fine.
Because, yeah, Luke, I think part of the problem is, like, one side will lose eventually.
Right.
So, like, this game that Sabatha came up with, like, if Locke and Jean never came back from the cruise in time, it could have just been like, oh, yeah, Sabatha was just way better at this than them, and she right. won. And, yeah, like, she won early, but, like, she won. So,
yeah.
That's just how it goes. Like, they're still playing the game. It's just they didn't win. They lost the game.
Right. And I mean, like, the thing is to get to win the election, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible that Sabatha kind of already won.
Yeah, right? Maybe Sabatha already bought off all these voters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of on this note, we're pretty far in this book already.
Yep.
Does this election happen at the end of this book?
Dude, I don't know. I'm worried.
They haven't done anything election related yet.
I'm
like,
so
nothing.
Worried. I'm worried that this is going to be a part one, part two situation, and the cliffhanger is going to be before we know what happens.
Right. It's so strange because the election thing isn't really within their skill set, right?
No, no.
And so we've seen, at least so far, the schemes that they've been doing have just been to, like, screw with each other
mm-hmm.
in ways that I guess affect the election, but not really.
Yeah.
So it's like we're 2/3 of the way through the book.
Yep.
And nothing towards the actual goal of their like competition has been even tried yet.
We've yet to see any door knocking.
Yeah.
Not a single door has been knocked yet. We've got 1/3 of this book to go. Oh boy.
I'm curious to see how they decide to do election stuff.
I will say,
just
Luke,
like thieves.
I seem to remember us having the same concern in the last book, and a lot of the uh-huh. action, like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, in the last book at this point, Locke and Jean were like being pirates out at sea and had still not done any of the like heist in the casino tower that they had set up in Act One.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so
true.
I
this one though, it's like not a like, because for one thing, it's not an election. It's not like a presidential election.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to get, it's like one big election.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of different
19 of them
people.
I think, or more, I can't yeah. remember. But yeah, and it doesn't all happen at once.
Hard,
yeah.
It's hard for me to see how they're going to influence this whole election
yeah.
in the short amount of time that we have left. But I'm excited for that.
Well, Locke and Jean are headed
it's
back.
It's kind of funny.
They're headed back, Luke.
They're headed back. Speaking of which, I have a small note here
mm-hmm.
as they're headed back.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feel bad for this, the cart driver and the guard that they ambushed.
Obvious ambush, guys. You never. Why would they do this? If I'm the guy in the carriage, I'm like, these idiots. Like, why did I hire these people? I'm so mad at them.
Right.
Like, send help back. Like, I don't know. Be a little bit more cautious if you have a literal bank safe as a carriage.
Yeah. Also, I kind of forget how they get the crossbow guy to put down his crossbow, but he doesn't need to.
No, they're like, I need your help too, crossbow guy. And he's like, well, I can't set this down because it can go off with a hair trigger. And it's like, why are you using that then?
Right.
That feels like a bad weapon.
Nice guys though.
Yeah, really, really swell. I do think, Luke, that while it's easy to throw shade at these guys, you know, Locke and Gene fall for the same kind of shenanigans when Sabatha bumps into them on the way. Random person bumping into you when you're in the middle of a war zone. Yeah, that's suspicious, and now I'm checking everything.
Yeah.
This is
kind of dead.
No, Luke. He did in the worst way possible. No, there's no, like, that's extremely convenient, isn't it? That somebody just happens to bump into you, Locke?
Right.
No. Something, this is intentional, okay? You gotta be ready. Yeah. You gotta be constantly vigilant, Locke.
Constant vigilance, as we say.
Hmm.
Yeah. What do you think about the successful fake a spasm move? Incredible.
A classic bit. He's definitely leveled up from vomiting in the middle of the street.
Yeah, but this one's even funnier because it's like a guy gets accused of stealing and he has a fit. It's like, all right, you're faking that. Clearly. I know, this isn't my first day.
Guy gets accused of stealing, and when they go to arrest him, he just flops over limp.
He flops over, bumps into everyone involved.
Whoa.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, but they do things a little different in Kamor, Luke.
Yeah.
They get away with it.
Okay. Should we talk a little bit about... I know we're kind of jumping back and forth between time periods here.
Yeah, yeah.
But should we talk a little bit about the play and the...
The Republic of Thieves.
The Republic of Thieves. So... I one thing that's kind of funny about this book is that it's kind of like a video game where it's just a series of like small challenges that they have to keep overcoming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That they are keep... like, ah, why is like the, they get to this city and now they have to immediately have to spring this guy from jail.
Mm-hmm.
Before actually getting to the like main thing that they're there for.
Yeah, exactly. They need to do the tutorial quest first.
Right. But they go in and they trick this noble
mm-hmm.
into kind of, well, I guess doing what the noble was originally going to do anyway.
Yeah. But also helping them out a lot more in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I want to say... is they get very lucky
mm-hmm.
when they're convincing this noble that they are also nobles. And he asks the exact question that Sabatha has prepared Locke for. Pretty good.
Yeah, the one question.
Pretty lucky there.
Just shows how good Sabatha is, dude.
Sabatha just knows.
Just women Sabatha's know. Always... Women know, Luke.
So true.
Am I right?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
But I don't know. I actually don't have a ton of like specific notes on this section,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like we need to talk about it. Do you anticipate them getting good at like being actors? It seems like something that they should be good at based on their training.
It does feel like their training would prepare them well for this job. And honestly, I am surprised that Gene is as bad at it as the Jesper guy says he is.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing so many different roles. Like, they all get sent out to play roles all the time.
Right.
And Gene, no one's ever sending Gene back being like, yeah, we saw through his disguise. He's obviously a thief that you're training.
Right.
So maybe, or Okay, alternatively, Luke, they are seeing through Jean's disguise. He's just so charismatic that they're like, yeah, you can stay. Right?
Well, it's not charisma because no. He's not charismatic necessarily.
But they,
it's just like he's kind of nice.
Yeah, he's like really, he's got a heart of gold and they're like, yeah, you're nice to have around. So you could stay. Yeah. You really brighten the place up.
Yeah.
What's your name? What's your real name? Gene? Ah, hey, Gene. Come on.
Yeah. I do like, I think they describe him this way as like, he would be good of an actor in roles that like kind of fit him already.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right? He's like one of those actors that
has to play
the same role in every movie.
Role, yeah.
Whereas the others are a little bit more flexible. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be good at it. You'd also think that the twins would have been better at it at first. Like, they understand what they're doing.
Right. The twins seem to be not very good at the job. Well, because the reason I say that is because, like, they're the most senior.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, correct.
And they seem to have, like, pretty quickly gone to the, like, lowest rung of the ladder.
It does seem that way, yeah. Maybe Father Chains is hoping they'll get lost on this trip and not come back.
Right. He was like, these were a bad investment. As soon as I saw Locke and Sabbath come in, I was like, okay, obviously they're way better than the twins.
We obviously get those two, yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like they should be better.
Yeah.
At the whole acting thing.
Yeah, also the jobs that they've been given so far are like unload the cart.
Yeah.
Give them some thieving jobs. Are they not good at that?
Well, they're not supposed to thieve on this trip.
Yeah, but if you're good enough, Luke, no one will know you're thieving.
Right.
I feel like you can.
I mean,
get
they
should
have
that.
Been practicing acting on the way. To be fair, like.
Yeah, should have. Oh boy. Yeah. Interesting. Not sure how this play is going to go down. I don't think they're actually going to do it.
Okay.
My suspicion is that they're not actually going to make it to curtains.
Like something's going to happen in the middle of the play, or they're not even going to make it to the play.
I don't think they're even getting on stage, Luke.
Okay.
I mean, we see Locke get caught by the person who's their patron almost immediately.
Yeah. Right.
So something's happening here.
Yes, this is true.
Now, I do think what's going to happen, I do think the resolution here is Locke is going to convince the buddy that he's still going to help him get Sabitha on his side. Maybe he's going to get him into the play, you know?
Okay.
Let the Baron actually be one of the actors, but I'm skeptical if we make it, even if we make it to curtain call.
That's fair.
But we'll see. It's weird, Luke. It's weird having the dual perspective in this book in particular, because we know that Locke and Sabitha get together at some point.
Right.
And so this sort of like, will they, won't they in the past is like, okay, at a certain point, they're gonna get together. So it's interesting to see that dynamic. And then also like they all, you know, make it back from this trip and end up, you know, back in Father Chain's crew. So I guess it takes some of the tension, a little bit of the tension out of the history.
Yeah.
But anyway, Luke, we've got another third to see what happens both with the play and with this election.
Yes. Gotta fit both in.
Gonna be knocking on doors and pounding the pavement, Luke.
Right.
Get handing out flyers and practicing lines, working on a speech for both.
Yes.
Yes. And so we're going to see what happens next week when this whole thing wraps up, but hopefully with a nice bow on it. And
we'll see.
And we'll just have to find out how Scott wraps this whole thing up. But until next week, we'll be here coming up with hot takes.